wake me when it's over. I'm going to get my beauty sleep.
Hello, this is Optimus Solo, and welcome to the 93rd chapter in our Powers of Grayskull series. With me for this journey into the Masters of the Universe franchise, still here, is TFG1 Mike. Hello.
Hello. And it only took us 10 episodes of this podcast into this crappy-ass new adventure series where I actually might actually be saying positive shit today.
We've had a few somewhat positive episodes that we've talked about, but we'll see. That makes me intrigued as to which ones you liked here. So are you ready for another trip to space?
Not really, but let's go anyway.
All right. Well, in this episode of Masters of Space, we will be giving you our thoughts on the next three episodes of the animated series. Episode 31, The Galactic Guardians. Episode 32, The Siege of Cirrus. And episode 33, The Children's Planet. So we hope you're ready, because it's time to go back to space.
Thank you for calling Fee Harmony, the service that matches you with the podcast that best fits your interests and needs.
I really hope you could help me, because I have had no luck finding the perfect movie podcast that gives me everything that I want.
Well, that's my job. What are you looking for in a podcast?
Well, it needs to be a movie podcast that covers old and new stuff, one that reviews movies, but also talks about movie news, discusses new trailers, and is willing just to have fun with some crazy movie games. Maybe even, you know, like the occasional top 10 countdown. Oh, and it's got to be a podcast that is willing at times to delve deep into the careers of notable directors and speak to all movie fans, from the general audience to the hardcore cinephile.
Wow, well, that's quite a resume you're looking for. What do you think you're regarding schedule? Monthly, weekly, daily?
Weekly, of course.
All right, well, let me crunch these numbers in our patented podcast matrix. Let's see what I can find for you. Wow, I don't believe it.
What is it?
We actually found the perfect match. This almost never happens.
Really? Well, dreams do come true. What is it?
It is the Cinema Geeks podcast, of course.
Well, that sounds perfect, but where can I hook up with such an awesome podcast?
Well, you can find it weekly on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastReader.com.
Awesome. Podcast marathon, here I come.
Another satisfied customer brought to you by P Harmony and the folks over at the Cinema Geeks podcast.
The new He-Man Power Sword.
Cool! It makes sound!
That's all.
Skeletor!
The Power Sword makes 8 action sounds. It lights up with power. You can be a hero. With the He-Man Power Sword. Send for a He-Man video for 99 cents in postage with specially marked vehicles.
All right, first up today is episode 31, The Galactic Guardians, September 1990, written by none other than, yep, we've seen him before, Jack Olesker, with a camping trip to the Galactic Guards, or the Galactic Guards converse about old times. They tell themselves history of their first common Ascension Day command. At that time, poisonous gas transporter threatened Primus. So basically, we have a flashback episode where they gather for a camping trip and they remember their first time they ever all came together on the first mission. So what do you think of this origin story of the Galactic Guardians?
This Olesker guy, he must have like some really, really screwed up shit, because this is the first good episode that he's written in 29 other cartoons, or I know he hasn't written the other 29, but like out of the ones he's written to this point, this is by far the best one. Dare I say, this is the best one of the series, and it's a damn flashback episode.
Yeah, it took that to get an origin out of this series, I guess. But I definitely am a fan of the idea of, hey, let's look at the first mission these guys came together. That plot has me from go. Like, okay, I would like to see how this team formed, how everybody came together, et cetera, et cetera. So I have no problem with the premise of this one.
Mm-mm. Me either.
All right. Well, let's get into the things that we liked and didn't like about this episode. Since you said you were positive, I'll let you go first. What was the palace moments for you?
Okay. I find this funny because it's just the way his character is, but even in a flashback episode, Flipshot is very flippant. Like, he's still like, even when he was younger, he's like, yeah, this is still me, I don't care, we came, we saw, we took a nap or whatever. Let's see. Yes, finally, names and attributes to the Galactic Guardians, which we've been asking for at this point. Right. And I like that they, and I knew that, you know, again, 1990, 1991, they're still going to create, you know, specific characters, and not just, oh, soldier number one, you know, the Galactic Guardians are not Horde troopers, for Christ's sake. So I like that we finally get all their names. We finally see why they joined He-Man and all that and everything else. Skeletor slaying it as always. Just so damn funny.
Yeah.
And as I said a second ago, this might be, so far at this point, the best episode of the series.
Yeah, I like the idea that we have all the Galactic Guardians together for once, because we've seen like one or two or just like random pairings of them. Mm-hmm. But we've never seen them like all together, especially not like involving some type of spaceship or whatever, where they're all just actually on land talking to each other in the same place at the same time. So I think we got kind of the rundown, because you have Sagittar, you have Artilla, you had Spinwit, Flipshot, Hydran. Now, Tuscador was not in this episode, though, right?
I don't think he was, no.
So we're missing at least one, but we had five of them at least together, yeah. So you kind of got to see how they came about. You know, it doesn't go super in-depth, but it does kind of get you a little bit of how they found some of them. So, you know, kind of their idea that they were going to do something, they needed some more manpower, and almost kind of like a recruiting phase where they're going through and finding some of these guys, and it does show off what they're good at.
Yeah.
So
He-Man is good. Uncle Sam. I want you.
Yeah, basically, right, you know, recruited the Avengers to form together the team there. So I did appreciate that, and I just don't understand why, you know, we're on episode whatever 30 of the series so far. By the time we got this, like,
yeah.
And I get why you have to do a flashback because of the fact that you haven't talked about this, you know, you can't do an episode where it would be actually happening their first episode. So
yeah, like if you took that opening five-parter and, you know, had the origin, all of that for He-Man getting to Primus,
right,
and then make this episode the very next, the sixth episode, not necessarily a sixth part, but the very next episode of, like, instead of telling it in flashback form, you tell it in full story form, He-Man and Master Sabrian going around and recruiting these guys. So instead of, like, it could have been the sixth episode of the series,
yeah,
and we would have had it by now, and we would have known all the other times that they've shown up to this point and everything else, but no, that didn't happen, because, of course, you know, 1990 and whatever the hell.
So that's probably my only complaint, is the fact that if they would have done it in that sequence where they did that recruiting, like in that sequence, then you wouldn't have to do this whole camping trip flashback thing. Like, yeah. That's the only cheesy part about this episode, is that they're all gathering together to do a camping trip. Like, I don't buy that would happen in this setting, and with all the impending doom and stuff like that. Like, when your world is constantly in danger of being taken over and stuff like that, you don't go on camping trips. Like,
and the fact that it was Flipshot's idea in the beginning, like, come on.
Yeah. Like, you go on camping trips when you're the Galactic Guardians, when you're the protectors of the realm, only in a time of complete peace. Like, you wouldn't go on a camping trip otherwise.
Yeah.
So that's maybe my only gripe. And I do understand the fact that you might want to have had this team exist before He-Man got here. Mm-hmm. So you might not be able to get away from doing a flashback, because if you want the team to have already existed, then He-Man wouldn't know about that. You know, it would have to
right,
be a flashback. Could have been episode six.
Well, what I'm saying is, okay, we have the five episodes that introduce He-Man, that introduce Skeletor, that blah, 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 introduce us to Primus and all of that. The sixth episode, yes, those five episodes, the Galactic Guardians do exist already. We only ever saw Hydran and Flipshot, and I could have sworn, I'm not going to go back so people can do it themselves and let me know if I'm wrong about this, I could have sworn that either Hydran, Flipshot, or both of them had said they were either part of or quote-unquote leaders of the Galactic Guardians.
Yeah.
And what I meant by He-Man, like, have this, like, whatever adventure this is in the flashback, have that be the goal of, like, that be the plot of episode 6, where He-Man has to go and recruit them, even though he hasn't met them yet. Gotcha. They do already exist. And this would be just like in the flashback. This was kind of our first introduction to them, but it was almost, you know, it was almost like He-Man's first introduction to them as well.
So it could have been done multiple ways. It should have been done in episode 6 or some episode very early on, because it seems like way late in the game to now get this. Because otherwise, what we've had here is we've had multiple episodes where we've been exposed to the likes of like an Artilla or a Spinwit or a Sagittar, where we really didn't know why or how. It becomes like
just this randomness. Like, there's something to be said for a team being established, and then you don't necessarily need to use the whole team in every episode. At that point, you can randomly pick which ones you want to include for this reason or that reason.
Yeah.
And it makes sense because you know, hey, this is like the Rogues Gallery, or this is the team that we're going to pick from, and we're going to see some of them throughout the series, compared to just randomly seeing a character that you don't know if it's a one-off, you don't know if it's a Galactic Guardian that's like got a main role on the team, you don't know if they're a part of the team, they just kind of show up, and then you're just kind of like, okay, I don't know if I should care about this character or not. And now you learn, well, after you've seen them randomly, that they're all part of this group, and that there's some type of consistency in the fact that they all know each other, and they all fight together, and they have a history of doing that. So
yeah,
I just think that's where they missed a little bit here.
Absolutely, and like you're saying, this is episode 30 out of 65. 32.5 is half of 65 episode run, so we're pretty much at the halfway mark of this series. I mean, we'll get there later, you know.
Right.
Today in the third episode we talk about, but I mean, pretty much halfway point. You wait to introduce your quote unquote good guy team. No. Right.
So that's more of a fault of the series than a fault of this episode.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to take any points away from the episode.
Oh, no.
But from a series standpoint, it's like there was nobody guiding the ship to say this should have been done much earlier.
Hell
so,
no.
Obviously. So,
Lou Scheimer retired by this point.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with some awards and some ratings and give our final thoughts on this first episode of today.
Wait for all the power in the universe.
Now it's your turn. Skeletor, I've got He-Man, the most powerful man in the universe.
Especially marked packages and get a mutant free figures and vehicles sold separately.
All right, seems like we're both pretty positive on this episode so far, so that means you probably have a power sword to give out, right?
Okay, I'm going to start with the Havoc staff, the scientists. Okay. The scientists always get it. I don't care. The scientists are the series Teela to me. All of them combined, they are worse than Teela almost. And then power swords to everybody else, because I just love this episode. Like, this is probably the only episode I could go back and watch of this series and enjoy it.
All right, so pretty positive there for you. I don't have any Havoc staffs on this one. I was entertained throughout. I actually agree with you. I enjoyed this episode quite a bit. So I do give a power sword to Jack Lesker for finally giving us an origin story of the Galactic Guardians and giving us the whole group together. This is what we've been asking for, so I would be a hypocrite if I didn't give some props for finally giving us what we had been wanting and talking about at the end of every episode. So Jack Lesker, power sword for me. Rating for you, sir?
5.
A 5 for Mr. TFGO and Mike. So that is your first 5?
Yeah, it's probably going to be the only one.
All right. I'm right in lockstep with you. I give it a 5 as well. This is one of the best, if not the best, episodes we've seen so far.
Yep.
Definitely will be talked about at the end. It's probably one of the very few episodes I could actually recommend to somebody if they really wanted to watch this series. So, all right, good start for today, a double 5. I don't know, I guess it can only go down from here, but we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about episode 32.
Hi, this is Larry DiTilio, writer for He-Man and Beast Wars, and you are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Next up today is episode 32, The Siege of Saris. Somewhere around October 1990, guess who is written by? Another one by Jack Lesker. A meteorite crashes on Primus and damages the lower water city Saris. The meteorite itself is an extraterrestrial life form, and the danger to Saris is not yet over. The life form intends to cut off the city's energies. He-Man must save the city before it's too late. So we have an alien life force that has crashed on the planet and is now basically going to kill the planet. What do you think of the plot on this one?
This is basically, you know how they had, well, I'm sure you know because I'm sure you've seen it, like AVP, like Alien versus Predator. This is basically aliens destroying Atlantis is what this is. Like,
yeah.
That's really what it is, and it's laughable at best. I mean, I don't know what it would be at worst, but like, oh god, I'm having some really, really bad never-ending story flashbacks that I'll talk about in a little bit, because wow.
I mean, I do like the, you know, we're in a fantasy world, a space world here that we're going to have this cartoon set on. So it makes sense that we would eventually have some type of contact or interaction with a meteorite, an asteroid, or something that is crashing on the planet. Like, that's what happens in science fiction, you know, in outer space. We have crashes of different things, natural, man, you know, piloted, different stuff like that. So I get that. Yeah. And I think it is a cool twist that it's not just a meteorite crashing and causing some type of scientific or physical, you know, physics problem for the scientist to solve. It's actually a life form. So I like that it kind of takes that twist to it instead of just having a meteorite that's going to crash and we have to, you know, it's impending doom that if Armageddon's going to happen, basically. No pun intended. But, you know.
Somebody call Bruce Willis. We got to drill 800 feet.
Right, so I like that it's not just that. It's that's happening. We think we're safe, but it's actually a life form. And then it goes completely into another realm, which I'll get into kind of in the Palace Moments and Snake Mountain Moments to let you know what I feel about it. But I'm on board for the most part with this one because it seems like something that is believable in this world, that we're going to have some type of crash and there's going to be complications. So I'm on board with the premise.
Yeah, and I am too. I mean, it's just a premise that I've seen way too many times. It's not told badly or anything like that. It's just repetitive in my mind.
Interesting. I'm going to have to mill that over. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about the good and bad, because I have a feeling this episode we might differ on a little bit. So stay tuned for that.
Do you like retro cartoons? Then Saturday Morning Rewind is the podcast for you. Join them each month as they talk about classic cartoons and interview legendary voice actors like Jim Cummings.
I am the terror that flaps in the night.
Corey Burton.
Sometimes flying is going to be so flighty.
Rob Paulsen.
Sure, Blaine, but how are we going to find chaps our size?
Nancy Cartwright and many more.
Eat my shorts.
So grab a bowl of Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious.
Put on your hammer pants. Go to SaturdayMorningRewind.com. And be prepared to feel like a kid again. Once again, that's SaturdayMorningRewind.com. Saturday Morning Rewind was voted best podcast ever by its host, Tim Nidell. So it's gotta be good.
Thus, with the power of the good and the way of the magic.
All right. Ding, ding, ding. The bell has sounded. Let the fights begin. No, I don't know. I think we're going to differ on this one here. So I'll let you go first. Good and bad about this episode.
Okay, so going to the Palace of Eternos. Why does the alien rock thing or whatever it is, why does it remind me of the rock in the, like, I'm sure you know, like, I was going to go for a Falcor reference, but no, it's not Falcor, it's the Rock King or whatever the hell, like, right. Inside Neverending Story. Like,
I love that movie.
I forget I should know the character's name because I've seen that movie enough times and its sequel, even though everyone hates the damn sequel. But yeah, that's what this thing reminded me of. Or Olmec.
I mean, oh my goodness, another poll. I like that.
You know, Legends of the Hidden Temple.
I like it.
I like this. It's a fun, interesting episode. It's an interesting thing. I think it's an interesting story. I just think I've seen this type of story way too many times. And it's not this episode's fault. It's not the writer's fault. It's just whoever is in charge of this show said, hey, go write this or go do this or go do that and go do this one thing that we've seen a million times. Like, you know.
Interesting. I think there was enough difference for me. There was enough. Yeah. Some of the basic structure is the same for me, but I think there's just, there's enough difference for me to enjoy this. I'd like that we get a little bit of a further backstory. So it's two episodes in a row that we get backstory on a character. So we get to see a little bit more about Hydran. Yeah, and his sister and where he comes from. So that was a major plus for me. And I like the fact that it kind of goes into almost like a Star Trek style storyline, especially Star Trek The Next Generation, where we come into contact with some type of alien form and we really don't mean it any harm. And it's not necessarily being physically, like, it's not assaulting us. It's not like trying to wage war with us. It's just a superior life form that's going to kill us.
I was gonna say, yeah, it's it's not trying to wage war with us, but yet it's trying to, you know, suck all the air out of President Scroob's cans. I mean,
yeah. So basically, yeah, you have your heroes in a position where it's like you
don't have any physical way, it seems like, to combat this. So you have to come up with how are you going to survive this other force that seems to not care about you or what you think or different things like that. So it goes very much into kind of like that Star Trek sci-fi land. So I appreciate that. I just feel like today's episodes are being done by a different group so far, like through two episodes. Like, is there a different group writing? Is there a different group producing? Is there a different group editing? Like, what's going on? Because it feels like last episode and this episode are like a completely different series almost than what we've seen so far. We're getting backstory, we're getting intelligence in some way, shape, or form, at least somewhat in the writing. So I was just like, I don't know, I feel good about today's episodes. If this is any sign of like maybe there was a shift in the production or somebody changed, I don't know what the, or maybe I just like them better. I don't know what the actual verdict is on that. The only thing I didn't like is that when we get to Hydran's, you know, this planet, this Atlantis, so to speak, underwater, that they have a problem and they're like, oh, let's go contact our scientists. Like, let's not have every world have like
their own crappy group scientists. Yeah, no,
like not just because they're annoying, but no, that's not I just don't feel like that's how it works. Like, you don't just have like a little group of scientists that stands around doing stuff for each different civilization. Like,
yeah, no.
So that was my only really nitpick, but overall I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it enough to give a power sword again. I'm gonna give one to He-Man because he does eventually kind of save the day like he tends to do as a hero, but I liked how he did it this time. So I power sword for He-Man. No really havoc staff for me. What about you?
The scientist is always for havoc staff, but I will give a power sword to He-Man. But I find it so corny and obviously so 90s, because this was the 90s. In the end, we can all learn from each other. Like, dun, really? Dun, dun. That's the message? Seriously? Okay, then. Sure.
What about a rating for you?
3.5. It's bordering on average, close to good, but it's like very middle ground. Like, not middle ground, but like middle ground bad to me is a straight 3. But 3.5 is like bordering on, you know, it could be good if there was maybe like one or two other things that were added to it to further the message or the plot or deepen it a little bit. But yeah, 3.5.
I'm a little bit more positive, I guess, barely, but I'm going to be at 4. So I was 5 for the first episode. I'm 4 here. I like the idea that we get to see a little bit more backstory. 2 episodes in a row, I'm getting spoiled here. We probably won't see it again the rest of the series, but maybe it's a turn in the right direction. I don't know. 4 for me, 3.5 for you. Still positive. All 4 ratings so far today have been positive. We'll see if that continues with our next episode.
With the power of the good and the way of the magic.
All right, last episode up today is episode 33, The Children's Planet. Also, this is, like you mentioned before, the middle episode. So 32 episodes before it, 32 episodes coming after it. So this is the exact middle episode here. Written somewhere around October 1990 and written by Misty Taggart. He-Man and the Galactic Corps Omega 4 land on a planet where they discover a dangerous gas. That's not correct, but we'll
Omega
4
is the planet.
Right. Yeah, that's the planet, and they got a deadly gas that's going to threaten everybody. So He-Man and the group are sent there to destroy the planet, and along the way, they run into some complications. So what do you think about this, the setting here of a different planet that's causing problems? We need to go blow it up.
I like it, but
I feel like you're torn.
It's not that I'm torn. It's just, I don't know. It just feels like a giant setup thing. Like, oh, there's no life signs on the planet. We get down to the planet. There's actual life. It's not just robots. Like, and then it's this mad dash, and we get zero explanation, because not even Master Sebrian said this. We get zero explanation as to why. What's his name? I forget the pilot. The dude that got lassoed. Yeah, Maxis. Or Nexus, or whatever his name is, he got lassoed and wouldn't push the button at the last minute.
Oh no, yeah, that was Spinwit that couldn't hit the button.
Oh, okay, it was Spinwit. All right, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's no explanation for like where did that
the
come
power
from?
Power of Sebrian.
I can see
he was floating. He can do anything.
No, I could see if like you know the power sword did something like that, like you know. Sword to lasso for crap's sake or something, but like there was zero explanation for that, so that was kind of
I was trying to decide if maybe the visual that we see with like him being like wrapped up and stuff is just for effect. Like that's not something that they could actually see there. It was more so like he was wanting to push it and couldn't make himself do it because Sebrian was in his mind somehow. But it definitely shows it almost as if he's like restricted by some type of energy beams.
Right. And that's the problem. Like, okay, so we've all seen Star Wars. We've all seen mind control, not mind control, but mind share type stuff. We've all seen this. We've all seen that. You know, this was almost like, let go, Luke. Trust your feelings. Do this, do that. Jedi mind trick shit. Except they had to show us, the viewers, a visual of him being restrained without actually explaining why he's being restrained. Because he even says, something is restraining me, even though in the writing it does not specifically say, oh, these laser things are restraining me.
Right.
Like, I wish that they're, like, something. Or instead of having him, his entire body restrained, just have his hand or his, you know, the hand that he's got the finger that he's pointing out at, like, mm-hmm. have that be restrained or have him pull that back or just some other animation trick that doesn't have laser ropes wrapped around his entire body.
Well, it sounds like we're getting right into the moment, so why don't we continue with this? Any other things that bugged you about this episode?
Yeah, the fact that it's written by a woman, and then the woman at the end has Kaz say, girls ruin everything. Really? Really? Come on!
I actually like that.
God.
I like that quote. Ah, girls, they're always ruining everything. We should save that. Use it a lot.
You try telling that to your future wife.
Uh-huh. I just thought it was a funny thing to throw in there. Uh-huh. I didn't really have... The only thing that was a very minor nitpick for me, I do like that they reference Skeletor here. You know, Maxis does reference that Skeletor has banished him and that, you know, he calls him Bag of Bones a couple times. So I like that there's a connection there. I just wish that we would have seen Maxis with the regular group at some point and seen Skeletor banish him. Because it would have been easy to do. You bring a character in, they have some type of plot, it doesn't go well, so Skeletor banishes him. And now we get an episode completely for that character on what he's doing in his world of banishment. Like, that would be perfect. We don't get that, so that's a minor flaw for me because it just seems like it's... And this, I get... I'm going a minor rant here, I guess. But I get the idea that people don't think that it's worthy to criticize or to critique or to review cartoons. All right? I get that some people don't like to do that. Obviously, we don't agree with that because we've reviewed a billion of them here on the Geekcast Radio Network. But here's the thing. They say, like, oh, you know, this is just a little cartoon show. It's just made for kids. You know, there should be no dissecting it. There should be no reviewing it or critiquing it. Like, you're going too far, et cetera, et cetera. But no, I don't agree because it's not like it's hard to do what I just said. It's not hard to introduce a character, have him banished, and then have a future episode down the line where you bring it back, especially when we have writers that only do a handful of episodes. So let's say, for example, I'm David Wise, and I'm writing for Filmation He-Man, and I end up doing, let's say, 6 episodes. All right, it would be easy for me. I do one episode here where I introduce something, and then when I get another chance to do an episode down the road, I tie it back together. We see that a little bit with some of those. Like, we saw it with the dragons in Filmation He-Man, as, you know, the connected dots where a writer came back and kind of continued a story that he had started.
Right.
So it's not too much to ask. Whether these people took it serious or not, that doesn't excuse it. That's like saying that, you know, when you're doing an essay in school or whatever, you know, oh, you're only in fourth grade, so you don't have to use any of correct grammar or anything like that, because who cares? It's just a fourth grader. No, you still have to, like, you still should be held up to a certain standard. So the writers, if you're a serious writer, it's not too much to ask for you to tie things together or for you to introduce elements and come back to it later. Like, that's not being too critical, regardless of how they took it serious or not. Like, you're putting your name on something. You're signing your name that says you wrote something. So if you don't take it serious and you give shit out, like, you deserve to be called on that.
Yeah, like, oh, absolutely.
And I'm not saying she's a crappy writer. She's had some good things that we've seen throughout the He-Man universe that I think we've mentioned a couple times. Mm-hmm. But it's not, you don't just get a free pass because you're writing for a cartoon, so you don't have to try.
Yeah.
So, and that's, like, my problem.
You know, almost anything can be reviewed today. I mean, we've got food critics, we've got movie critics, we've got critics fashion for plays. Critics. We've got fashion critics. We've got music critics. We've got this. We've got that. We've got a million bajillion different podcasts. Like, you know, at some point I want to go back and have a GCRN Presents episode about this, about an article I saw like last year or 2 years ago about the guy writing it was like, please, for the love of God, do not start your own podcast. And he was talking about people like we were almost 10, like I was almost 10 years ago starting out. Like mm-hmm. his whole, I'll have to send you the article so you can look at it. But it's one of those things where, part of it. Okay, well, anyway, but it's one of those things where it's like, for the love of God, right now, don't start a podcast. You won't succeed. You won't. It's such a negative article that like there's too many podcasts out there already, so you shouldn't even try. And it's like, are you friggin' kidding me?
It was more like a desperation, like you shouldn't start a podcast because I don't want any competition type thing.
Yeah, that too.
But yeah, so I mean, so that's why we critique this stuff, and that's why because you don't just get a free pass because you're writing for a cartoon. No. You don't all of a sudden lower your standards and write in a lower quality just because you're writing for a cartoon versus a live action TV series versus a movie versus a novel. Like you should be absolutely writing good stuff no matter what because you're putting your name on it. So that was my only nitpick, is that we it would have been great to have seen Maxis earlier on, but I do like that he does reference Skeletor. Also, I like that there's an interesting premise here to have the planet needing to be destroyed, yet they don't know if there's living creatures. So you kind of have that built-in tension where are they going to destroy the planet before they realize that there's humans or beings or, you know, living creatures there. I mean, you know that they're not going to do that, but it does kind of implicitly put a little bit of tension there. And I also like that we got Tuscador and Spinwit in this episode instead of Hydran and Flipshot.
Yeah,
like they flipped it up a little bit and gave us two different characters.
Okay, so my only complaint about this is, as you're saying, you like about, you know, how it's showing the planet and whatever else. The name of the episode is The Children's Planet. I'm pretty sure the planet itself is not made from children, but at the same time, the title of the episode, yeah, that's a whole other bag of stuff on a whole other different, more explicit podcast than this, and we're pretty fucking explicit.
That would be a villainous act to create a planet created by
100 greatest planetary villains or something, or 100 planets that are villainous or whatever, you know. But it's one of those things where the title of the episode is The Children's Planet, so it made me think, oh, this is going to be a planet of children with no adults or very few adults.
Right.
And they basically say, oh, there are no life signs. There's no this, there's no that. There's like one or two small villages with like maybe six or seven quote unquote people, aliens, whatever. Because specifically they say for the Galactic Guardians, some of them are not human, even though they look human in their design.
Right.
So I don't know if these people are human, inhuman, whatever they are, but like there's people there. But again, my complaint is name the episode something else other than The Children's Planet, because you just look at that title, you think, oh, it's a planet full of Cousin Jeremy's or Cousin Ed Weiner's or the Star Children or whatever the hell.
I like that those three are the first three that come to mind here. Speaking of the children, the children in this episode, not that bad. Not that bad. Not as annoying as those three characters that you just mentioned. So the girl a little bit, but for the most part,
I found Kaz more annoying. I'm sorry. Like, but the come other on.
People that were helping him out. Not that bad. I also liked Maxis as a villain. I thought he had
did
some
too.
Cool tricks up his sleeve, and he presented a real threat. So I enjoyed him. So let's take a quick break. We'll come back and do some awards and our last ratings of the day. See if we are positive like we were in the last two, or if this one took a step down.
It's Showtime Synergy. The latest review podcast from the Geekcast Radio Network is here. So join TFG1 Mike, Nicole Hailstorm, and myself, Lady Rec, as we will be reviewing all 65 episodes of Joe and the Holograms in a 25-episode long podcast. You can find Showtime Synergy on iTunes and GeekcastRadio.com. We are the truly outrageous podcast that you want to be listening to.
All right, last time we get to give awards out for today. Anything you got, sir?
Power sword to the scientists and Kaz, just because every episode for the scientists and Kaz. I get it. That's
you
a
did
very
say power
nine
sword for the scientists, right?
No, Havoc staff. Sorry, okay. Whatever. You know what I mean? Damn, things are running into each other. But Havoc staff to the scientists and Kaz. Scientists, they always get it. But it's one of those things where I get that's a very 90s line, and I get when you're what is Kaz somewhere between 10 and 13 or whatever.
Yeah, probably.
Like,
10, 11,
I get it. Right at that, you know, middle of youth going into teenager years, you're not that into girls until you, you know, figure it out when you're 15 or 16 or whatever. But it's one of those things where, or maybe a little earlier, who knows. Hmm. Like, did that line really need to be here? And I give Kaz a Havoc staff for that. Power swords? Nah.
Okay. I'll give one to Maxis because I thought he was a cool villain. I liked him. And we didn't talk about, what was his name, Korg or something? The two-headed dragon thing. That was, I guess, his friend.
I'm glad we didn't talk about him because it would have drastically lowered my grade because he reminds me of Too Bad.
I wish he would have got more time, actually. I would have liked to see him a little bit more to see what he was made out of and what kind of weapons he had.
Yeah, he reminds me of Too Bad and the two-headed dragon from Quest for Camelot in 1998.
I thought you were going to try to make another reference to the Neverending Story of some way, but I couldn't see where you're going there. That
no.
makes more sense. All right, what about a rating for you?
3.5. It's border the plot, the action, all of that. It's bordering on good, but it's still middle ground.
Yeah, I'm right with you. I'm at 3.5 as well. We got spoiled with two episodes. I had a little bit of backstory and some origin stuff, and we didn't get anything here, so I had to bring it down a little bit. But I thought it was a decent enough episode. It's better than average for this series, at least. Mm-hmm. It's just slightly on the positive side. So that means overall today, 3 episodes, 6 ratings, all of them 3.5 or higher.
Yep. Don't get used to it, folks. Do not get used to it.
You know, usually when you get about to the halfway point, that's when you're stalling. You're like, you need some rejuvenation. Somebody needs to pump some energy into the series. But halfway episode here, and we're positive as heck. So I don't know what that means for the second half, but it's coming. So we'll take a quick break, and we'll give you our final thoughts on today and preview what's coming up when we start the second half of episodes for the new Adventures of He-Man.
Hello, geeks and geekettes! Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
I know what we're doing today.
Okay, Michael, if we're going to tackle this podcast thing, we've got to do something really special. It has to be cool, daily, in audio form, and undetectable by radar. Something that screams summer. I know, let's do a Phineas and Ferb review podcast. We'll call it the Podcast Organization Without a Cool Acronym, or PALCA for short. What do you think?
I think if we're not careful, Candace is going to bust us.
You can find PALCA on the Geekcast Radio Network, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, and all of the other methods you find podcasts.
Okay, then. Carry on.
All right, we are back here on the Powers of Grayskulls, Masters in Space, episode 93. We've got 7 to go till 100.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Well, the countdown begins.
Yeah, ain't that the truth?
Or halfway.
Yeah. Any please no, don't. Oh. I know you can sing, but please not that song.
I'm living on a prayer that the rest of this series won't be as bad as the first
one. God, no. Can we just start having the thunder roll, please? Because, no. We shall not be free of this series yet. It's always interesting when I can work in Garth Brooks song titles. Anyway, any final thoughts for you for today? Anything you want to say before I close it out?
No, I mean, good and positive note here at the halfway mark. I'm not holding my breath, but hopefully we'll get some future episodes that are this positive, because otherwise it's going to be a long second half.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, and don't hold your breath or
it's
else
like...
you'll have to...
It's like a football team here. We had a Hail Mary at the end of the first half that scored us some points, but we're still down like 56-7. So I don't know.
I still blame the goddamn officials because Brady had nothing to do with that whatsoever. Anyway, thank you for listening to the Masters in Space today. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on all of this and all of our other episode posts. Follow us. Oh, On Twitter, at Geekcast Radio is the network Twitter. You can follow at Pow of Grayskull for the show. I am at TF2 and Mike. What is your Twitter?
Optimus Olo.
Leave feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekcastRadioNetwork. We're trying to hit the 1,000 fan mark by the end of the year, but I don't think that's going to happen because we'll have like 2 likes one day and then like 4 likes unlike us like the next day. We're like stuck between 840 and 859. It's just... we hope you enjoyed today's episode, and don't forget to join us in our next adventure when we will take a look at the next 3 episodes of the new crappy Adventures of He-Man, which include Zone of Darkness, Once Upon a Time, hey, that's an ABC show, and A Plague Upon Primus. I blame Unicron, damn it. For now, I am TF2 and Mike with
the one and only Optimus Solo.
By the power and for the honor of Grayskull, you all have the power and, you know, the way of the magic and whatever the hell else that is. I don't know.